ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टॉपिक ऑफ डिस्कशन इज व्हाट इज योगा। दिस टॉपिक गिवन टू मी एंड वी आर टॉकिंग अबाउट योगा। सो फर्स्ट थिंग वी हैव टू कीप इन माइंड दैट दिस टर्म इज प्रोन टू लॉट ऑफ मिसइंटरप्रिटेशंस। फर्स्ट थिंग इज दिस, बिकॉज there are many books talking about yoga. Patanjali Yoga Sutra is talking about yoga. That's the book for yoga, Patanjali Yoga Sutra. And then if you want to understand what is yoga, you can read Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is talking about yoga. These two books are quite prominent when you want to understand yoga. Then there are many other books. For example, if you want to understand yoga, there is a book Shiva Samhita, which is famous among the circle of yogis. Shiva Samhita. Then there is another book, Hatha Yoga Pradipika. This is famous. If you go to Gujarat area and Mount Abu, there are Aghoris. There is a particular sect, Aghoris. And they read this book, Hatha Yoga Pradipika. And then there is another book, Gherand Samhita. If you go to Himalayas and all these, those yogis, they read Gherand Samhita. So there are various books on yoga. And this yoga is called by various names, like for example Dhyana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or Raj Yoga or Sahaj Yoga. There are various names for this, but principles are the same. And then there are books like Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. These books are also talking about yoga. But in today's lecture, what we'll find is that these are two different definitions of yoga. Patanjali Yoga Sutra, Shiva Samhita, Gherand Samhita, all these books, they're talking about yoga, and their conception is very different. And what Bhagavad Gita is talking about yoga and Bhagavatam, that conception is very, very different. Now first, let's see what Patanjali says about yoga. Now, it's chapter 1, verse 2, Patanjali says, Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha. Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha. So Patanjali says yoga means extinguishing the desires of mind. Chitta Vritti Nirodha. Nirodha means extinguish, cessation. Chitta Vritti means desires. So when you stop the desires, that's yoga. And what's the result of yoga according to Patanjali? It's liberation. Liberation means making your mind empty. That's liberation. And how do you achieve liberation by practicing yoga? Well, Patanjali says you can focus your mind more and more and deeper and deeper. You can take help of yantra. This is called yantra, which is a dot. You can take a help of a candle, meditate on candle, or you can simply close your eyes half closed and meditate on tip of your nose. Or some yogis prefer to meditate on their breath, breathing, inside out breathing, like this. Or you can choose God. That's Patanjali. Ishvara Pranidhanani va. First chapter, 23rd verse. So Patanjali says, there are so many ways to focus your mind you can also choose God. Or be devoted to Supreme Spirit. So according to Patanjali, God is one of the way, one among many ways by which you can focus your mind and then control your mind, simple, and attain liberation. And according to him, liberation means that empty your mind, finish. So that's called Dharma Mek Samadhi. So according to Patanjali, there are four chapters. Samadhi Path, Sadhana Path, Vibhuti Path and Kavalya Path. So these four chapters are there where Patanjali is talking about what is yoga, what is perfection of yoga, how to do yoga and all these things. But almost I have summarized this in these two, three sutras. If you want to understand Patanjali, you can just remember three sutras. That's all. And you can understand what Patanjali means. First chapter, second verse, it is talking about yoga. Yoga means cessation of desires. And then 4th chapter, 34th verse, where he is defining liberation. And liberation, he defines liberation as when there are no desires. Purushartha shunyanam gunanam kaivalyam swarupa pratishtha vachit chaktirati. He says when all desires are over, finished, that's liberation. And this is second verse, you should remember. Fourth chapter, 34th verse, first chapter, second verse. And the third verse you should remember is first chapter, 23rd verse, where he talks about God, Ishvara Pranidhananiva. You can use God to focus your mind. And who is God? First chapter, 24th verse. God is who is free from all desires, all miseries, and all sins. Four verses you have to remember and even understand what is Patanjali. This is about Patanjali. So some people actually, okay, fine, I'll talk about this about later. Now, what about Gita? Gita also speaks about yoga, but in a very different terms. Now, according to book Perfection of Yoga, which is written by Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya ISKCON, he writes in chapter 7, the aim of yoga is threefold. First is to control senses. Second is to purify activities. And third is to link with Krishna in reciprocal relationship. This is how Prabhupada defines yoga as. And if you note, almost none of these components are mentioned by Patanjali, except control senses. The first point, that's it. So there's a difference. Patanjali never mentions about God and his relationship of soul with God. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur notes with Patanjali. Patanjali, he avoids God, because he never defines God, first of all. Even if he defines, his definition is funny definition, free of miseries, sins, and desires. This is not how God is defined as. And if Patanjali chooses his God to be such a God, we don't want such a God. You want such a God. Who wants to worship such a God? So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is the problem with Patanjali. Patanjali's God is not God. His definition is not correct. And also, so if his conception of God is not correct, then how do we proceed further? To develop link with God. Yoga, the word yoga means link. Linking with God. And before you have to link yourself with God, you should know who is God, first of all. You have to define him. And there's no definition. Patanjali is avoiding God. So in initial chapters, he gives his definition in the first chapter. 24th verse. Who is God? Free of all misery, sins, and sufferings. Fine. So some people say, well, that's okay. Patanjali has defined God. He's mentioned about God. So he's theistic. Theistic means he believes in God, because otherwise why he'll define God? But the point is, when he talks about liberation in the fourth chapter, he simply avoids God. Why? Question is why? This shows that Patanjali is, there's some problem. Either he's theistic or he's atheistic, or he is something hodgepodge. Because initially you mentioned something about God, and when you reach your perfection, there's no God. Finished. 4th chapter, 34th verse. That's the last, almost last verse of Patanjali. And there he never mentions about God. He says, according to Patanjali, what is liberation? Ultimate liberation is when all desires are, when a person is devoid of all desires, all goals, and he returns to his original state. Now make a note on this definition. He says ultimate liberation is that person returns to his original state. The question is, what state? He never defines that. What state? You're in limbo, you're light, or what? What state? Second, there's no mention of God in this definition. Ultimate liberation is when all desires cease all goals cease and a person returns to his original state. There is no mention of God. So why did he mention God in his first chapter, first of all? Does he want to trick people by making them impressed that, yes, I also believe in God? And that's what happened with the yogis. People who follow this book, Patanjali, they trick others and they cheat themselves. Because they use God for focusing their mind, but they know that when they attain ultimate liberation, according to Patanjali, there's no God. Finish. So, who is Patanjali? A theist, atheist, or a hidden atheist? What do you say? According to various commentators, various acharyas, he is definitely not a theist. Because his definition of yoga doesn't include God. At least perfection of yoga, liberation. And even if it includes God, it's something as a use and throw. That's all. Simple. This is not theistic conception. He's not an atheist because he mentions something about God. No? Buried on God. So what is he? Various commentators say that he is a hidden atheist. Hidden atheist. So externally, these people who follow Patanjali Yoga, externally it seems that they are theistic people. They believe in God. But deep inside their soul, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. Because if you attend all these yoga classes, who read Patanjali Yoga and who propagate Patanjali Yoga, they will say, well, yeah, you can believe in God. If you're new, they will say, chant, believe in God, it's not bad. You should also sing God's name. It's good, go to temple. But as you advance in the courses, slowly they'll tell, you know, we have a secret to tell. And that secret is that there's no God. That's a secret. So that will happen eventually. Because they follow the system of Patanjali and Patanjali is himself confused. But what about Gita? Gita is clear. It's absolutely clear. So Gita says yoga means three things. To control senses. Simple. To purify your activities. Purify activities means that performing work connected with God. Performing work for God. Performing work in such a way that it helps to be conscious of God and not forget Him. That means purifying activities. And third, the most important is to link oneself with God in loving relationship. Link means love, isn't it? You're not going to link with somebody officially or something. No? Link means love. So yoga means love. And nowhere in Patanjali Yoga Sutra there is mention of love. Nowhere. So this is 7th chapter, 1st verse. This Krishna quotes in Bhagavad Gita. Maya sakta mana partha. Now here, how a practicing yoga, full in consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from all doubts. This is yoga according to Gita. Such a nice definition. And this is actually a comprehensive definition and satisfying definition. Because if you read Patanjali, you will feel you are missing something. Because there's no mention of God, there's no mention of linkage, there's no mention of love. You feel incomplete something. This is about yoga. Is any questions? I'll stop here. Then I'll continue.
This is the original yoga, traditional yoga again?
Yeah, Patanjali Yoga Sutra, traditional yoga. Yeah, because if you see modern yogi, modern people who are practicing yoga, they might know the name of Patanjali, but they not have even seen this book, Patanjali Yoga Sutra. What do you mean by yoga, chitta vritti nirodha? Who the hell knows, you know, what is this chitta vritti nirodha? Who cares about that?
Patanjali Yoga Sutra, he tells us that yoga starts with yama and niyama.
Yeah, yeah.
So you should sleep properly, yama, not more, yama. Not less.
Yeah, all those things.
Yes, and not even all these yogis vegetarian.
Yeah, this is one point because Patanjali, he mentions 8 steps for yogis. And the first 2 steps are yama and niyama. Yama and niyama means you have to do something and you don't have to do something. Yama means you have to do something you don't have to do something. Niyama means you have to do something, rules and regulations. So Patanjali says you have to sleep on proper time, you have to be disciplined, you have to follow brahmacharya. Now, what is brahmacharya in America? What do you mean by that? So they don't have any conception for that. And then you have to speak truth, you know, satyam. You have to be absolutely clean, you have to be disciplined, you don't have to steal, you don't have to be hypocrite, you have to be compassionate. All these things are there. And modern yogic system and modern yoga classes, they don't teach all these things. Yam niyam asan. They start with asan exercises and pranayam to certain extent. Breathing. No. Yam niyam asan pranayam. Yeah, so pranayam. And then later samadhi, who cares for that? That forget it. So they don't it's not even, they're not even following Patanjali. And if they do, still they're on wrong path. Still they are wrong. So if you want to understand yoga, please read Gita. Don't read Patanjali. Although Patanjali is famous, but he's quite famous. If you come to India, Patanjali is God for yogis. He's the acharya of yogis. And people recommend Patanjali Yoga Sutra. But if you want to understand yoga, read Gita. Gita will help you to understand yoga in much better and much true terms. What is yoga?
You talked about the four points: samadhi path, sadhana path,
vibhuti path, and kavalya path. No, these are four chapters in Patanjali. So first chapter is samadhi path. Samadhi path means liberation. How to focus your mind on God. Focus, concentration. And then sadhana path means what is the process of focusing mind. Vibhuti path means if you practice this yoga, you will get mystic powers. Vibhuti, mystic powers. And fourth is kavalya path. That means liberation. These are four chapters. And there are four verses. Simple. Four chapters, four verses. You know Patanjali, which I've told. And you also know that is wrong. He's wrong. So it's not necessary that whatever is written in Sanskrit, that's true. It's not true. There are many texts written in Sanskrit. They might be traditional, they might be old, but they might be wrong. Simple. Everything has to be checked and balanced by reading Vedas and Gita especially. Otherwise we can go wrong. Okay, so anything else?
Well, I was thinking to first, I heard like Ayurveda was given by God to, I don't know, okay? I was simply saying about yoga, that it was given initially by God, to not to achieve God, but to maintain some yoga power and then everything else. I was thought it's like something is given by God, same as Ayurveda.
Yeah. In Vedas, it's clear, yoga... there are certain Upanishads, Yoga Upanishads. If you read Vedas, Rig Veda, there is a process of yoga given. It's clear. And there, yoga is defined as to link with God through love. Simple. But then came Patanjali, and he screwed its meaning. He developed his own system, his own interpretation of yoga. Probably was confused, or he wanted to confuse. I don't know what happened. But then people got confused. Then they lost that understanding, Vedic understanding of yoga. And they took this Patanjali understanding of yoga. But then came Krishna. He spoke Bhagavad Gita and he just smashed Patanjali yoga. And then came Vyasadeva. He wrote Vedanta Sutra. He also just smashed Patanjali. And he told, you know, this is wrong. Vedic understanding of yoga is different. So don't follow this. That's Patanjali is not bona fide. Simple. If you go to any university in West or in India, and if you go to yoga department, you will find Patanjali. He is the father of yoga. But people hardly know that. I don't know, these people who are doing research and scholars, you know, they don't understand that Patanjali's yoga system is very different from Vedic yoga system. Probably their research is not right, or probably they have not got training in traditional understanding of yoga and Vedic scriptures. So there's a problem there. We need to tell people about all these things. That's okay. Okay, Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.